Welcome to Just a Minute. Hello. My name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, once more it is my pleasure to welcome the four experienced players of the game who are going to compete this week. We welcome back three of the senior members of Just a Minute, which is Derek Nimmo, Peter Jones and Clement Freud, and somebody who's a regular but hasn't been with them quite so long from a different generation of comedians, and that is Paul Miller. Would you please welcome all four of them? Beside me sits Elaine Wigley, who's going to keep the score, and she'll blow a whistle when 60 seconds are up. And this particular show is coming from the Pleasance Theatre on the Fringe at the Edinburgh Festival. And I ask our four panellists to speak, if they can, on the subject that I give them, and they try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviating from the subject on the card. And let us begin this show with Clement Freud, and a very apt subject for this one, the capital of Scotland. That is the subject, Clement. Speak on it if you can, starting now.
I asked a man on Ina to name me the capital of Scotland. He worked on the Froig distillery, and he said it was Bruichladdy, and I did not believe him. Went to a reference book and found that, in fact, the capital of Scotland is spelled capital E, capital D, capital I, N-B-U-R-G-H, all in capitals, because...
Daring Nimmo challenge.
Repeat of capital.
No, it's on the card. You can repeat the words on the card.
So
the capital of Scotland. It's all right, you've only been playing the game for 28 years, Derry, but it's, it is difficult to catch up with the rules sometimes. So that was an incorrect challenge, so the person speaking gets a point for that. It was Clement Freud. He keeps the subject. There are 36 seconds left. The capital of Scotland, starting now.
A tunesmith from Edinburgh sang me a song which went, I belong to the capital of Scotland, dear old Glasgow toon, which outraged the natives who support Rangers, Hibernian and other football teams.
Peter Jones, a challenge.
Hesitation.
I think so, Peter. He really was sort of running out of steam there, wasn't he? So, a correct challenge. A point to you, Peter. 17 seconds left. Tell us something about the capital of Scotland, starting now.
Most friendly and hospitable place. I'd only been here about 1 hour last night. I was walking along, a lady stepped out of a shop doorway, and we got into conversation, and she ended up by inviting me back to see the place where she worked.
Whoever is speaking when the whistle goes gains an extra point. It was, of course, Peter Jones. Actually, Peter, I have to tell you, I let you go a little beyond 60 seconds because I wanted to know what happened when the lady spoke to you.
Well, as I said, but you didn't hear it. she invited me back to see the place where she worked.
All right. It wasn't a motor car by any chance, was it?
No car involved.
Right. Peter, you...
I'm sure if you're eager, Nick, he can give you the address of where this happened.
Peter.
Yes.
You have got most points at the end of that round.
Oh, good.
And so you're in the lead. And Paul Merton, your turn to begin. The subject, souvenirs. Will you tell us something about that in this game, starting now?
I think they are a bit of a con, souvenirs. They tend to be a souvenir of the shop where you bought it, for example. You buy a plastic bowler hat with Welcome to Skegness written on it. It's not a souvenir of that particular place. It's simply a reminder of the shop where you...
Derek Nimmo challenge.
Two shops.
There were two shops. Yes, Derek, you have a correct challenge. You have a point for that. And you have 44 seconds on souvenirs, starting now.
I think when you travel around, it's frightfully nice to bring back with you souvenirs. I have from Bali a wonderful Vishnu, the god of the Indian mythology, and a Garuda, which is the winged eagle on which he rides. From Peking, I brought back a bottle which is painted on the inside with 100 Chinese characters, and I look at that in my house, and every day I see it, I am taken back to Old Cathay, where I have such happy memories. No, souvenirs are very important. I have a brass elephant, which I dug up.
Paul Merton,
chairman. Repetition of have.
You have, you have. He let the first three go, but got you on the fourth one. So, Paul, a correct challenge and souvenirs is back with you. 14 seconds starting now.
I shall be taking home Waverley Station to remind me of the wonderful times I've spent here in Edinburgh. I shall probably put it in my back garden and in some commuters...
Clement Freud challenge.
Hesitation.
I agree, Clement. 3 seconds to go. You've got in just before the whistle. Souvenirs starting now.
I hold my hand in yours, dear.
As I said before, whoever is speaking when the whistle goes gains an extra point. It was Clement Freud who's now taken the lead at the end of the round. Peter Jones, your turn to begin. Love letters. Will you tell us something about love letters in just a minute, starting now?
In my youth, I wrote a lot of love letters, but I didn't ever receive quite as many. And I remember one long letter from a girl I wasn't really terribly keen on, and she couldn't even spell the word chauvinist.
Derek Limerick challenge. There was a hesitation before the chauvinist got out.
Very slight, wasn't it?
Mm. It was.
A very slight buzz in consequence.
Yes.
But enough for me to decide it was a hesitation.
Right.
So Derek comes in on love letters with 46 seconds, starting now.
My darling heart, I adore you. You are the most beautiful creature that I've ever seen in my life. My Venus, my Aphrodite.
Paul Merton challenge.
Four Mys.
Four Mys. Paul, tell us something about love letters. 37 seconds are left, starting now.
I love letters. They're so much better than postcards because you can express your thoughts on a vast expanse of paper. There's no limit to how long this particular letter can be. There can be 10, 15 pages. It doesn't matter.
Clement Freud, you challenged. There was no noise, but your light came on.
Two there can be's.
Yes, there were there can be, there can be. That shattered the audience.
Hey, sirrah, sirrah.
24 seconds, love letters, Clement, starting now.
I received a love letter from a girl who worked on a pick-your-own grouse moor, and it was one of the most enchanting epistles that I have had.
Derek Nimmer challenge.
He stopped.
He did. Yeah. 13 seconds, Derek, love letters, starting now.
No.
Clement Freud challenge.
He didn't start.
The audience applause tells me that they enjoyed your challenge, Clement, but it wasn't correct. I'll give you a bonus point because of the challenge that they enjoyed, but Derry gets a point for being interrupted. He keeps the subject, 12 seconds.
My love letters I keep in a suitcase up in my...
Repetition of my. Oh.
Paul, 10 seconds, love letters, starting now.
My darling... When I look into your blue azure eyes, I can see...
There ain't no more challenge.
3 eyes.
No, he said, when I look...
No, they're from the last... I was counting them.
He did say I when he was speaking last time. You're quite right, Derek, yes. You've got in very artfully with 3 seconds to go on love letters starting now.
Her name was Griselda.
Paul Merton.
I just... buzzed on the chance that he might say my again. Seeing as his record in the recent past has been fairly heavy.
It was a good anticipation, but incorrect. So, Derek...
How do you know that it was incorrect?
Because it wasn't hesitation. No, it wasn't repetition, because he hadn't... said...
It was anticipated repetition.
I know.
I stopped him before he said it.
But there's nothing...
So how can you possibly judge whether it's right or wrong?
I can judge, because in this game, it's only if you actually repeat the word, and you haven't. Anticipation is not part of the rules. So
it should be.
I know. Right, 2.5 seconds. Love letters, Derek.
This starting... glorious girl called Jean Pirrit.
Paul Merton.
Repetition of girl. Yeah.
Yes, you had a girl before. So, at last, you've done it. 0.5 second ago, you've got it. Paul Merton, love letters, starting now.
The letter A.
It's So, an interesting situation. A lot of points were scored in that round. Clement Freud and Paul Merton are equal, but they're 1 point behind Derek Nimmo, who's now in the lead. And Derek, it is also your turn to begin. And following love letters, we go on to the loving thoughts of Venus. Will you tell us something about that subject in this game, starting
now? Well, I was talking about Venus a few moments ago, and I would have gone on to say, if I hadn't been so rudely interrupted, that she rose from the sea, out of Paphos on the coast of Cyprus. They call her Aphrodite, and in fact, they called the island there.
Paul Merton Chance.
Repetition of call.
You called her, and she called.
Oh, he's playing very keenly, isn't he?
Venus, 45 seconds with you, Paul, starting now.
Venus de Milo. I always wondered where the arms went. Perhaps they're in another museum somewhere where just demonstrated in a little glass case just two concrete, not that they're made of that particular substance, but two stone things.
Clement Freud challenge.
Repetition of two.
Mm. Two, yes, there were two twos. Right, Venus, with you, Clement, and 32 seconds available, starting now.
Venus is an anagram of snoov. I didn't know many people knew that. And she was also the goddess of love. I had a godchild whom I took to the theatre, and she said, "There's my best friend. I hate her." I think on the...
Peter Jones challenge.
Hesitation.
Yes, I think so, Peter.
Well...
After you try to get a laugh on that thing about your godchild.
They never rub it in, do you?
I have to give a little bit of my own back on occasions, because you rub it into me quite frequently, all of you.
Oh. Wishful thinking.
I know. Peter Jones, you have 17 seconds with Venus starting now.
The beautiful Venus was made to marry Vulcan, who was a metal worker, I understand, as far as I can remember. Paul would probably be able to tell us more about it. She didn't get on with him terribly well. He was ugly and rather unattractive person. And anyway, she had affairs.
Peter Jones was then speaking as the whistle went. He's moved forward, but he's still trailing the other three are equal just ahead of him. Paul Merton, your turn to begin the subject virtual reality. A rather modern subject, but tell us something about it in just a minute, starting now.
We have before us a virtual reality version of Nicholas Parsons. We can see and hear him, but somehow he's not quite there. It's almost as if you could put your hand through the ghostly shadow that we see before us, and we know we will find a very little backbone or any kind of life as we understand it on this planet. But this doesn't stop him finding regular work on the radio. Alas, television got wind of him quite some time ago, and his appearances there are now restricted to early afternoon or perhaps 4:30 in the morning, just before we get the truck racing from Idaho on Eurosport.
Derek Nimmo challenge.
He's not talking about virtual reality. It's a sustained attack against our revered chairman.
What has come over you? That's the first time you've paid me a compliment in 28 years. So, what is your challenge, actually?
A deviation, not talking about virtual reality.
I think whoever challenged, I'd have given it against him, actually. On that. Derek, virtual reality, 17 seconds, starting now.
Apparently, you can go to a virtual reality cafe and you can tune in with this headpiece that you put on to restaurants around the world and talk to people actually sitting within them. But the trouble is, you can't eat any food, because that is reality and not virtual reality. I don't see any point to it myself. I would like...
Well, Derek Nimmo got the points in that round, and he's now gone into the lead just ahead of Clement Freud, Peter Jones and Paul Merton. Peter Jones, your turn to begin. Passing out. Will you tell us something about that, starting now?
Well, you can pass out from a college or academy or school. Sometimes it's associated with fainting. Guardsmen do it. Even educated fleas do it. But anyway, if you want to think of passing out as being an exit...
Nimmo challenge.
Hesitation, I'm afraid.
There was hesitation, yes. I'm sorry.
Yes, there was.
And
there was
a rotten subject. I don't know why I buzzed it.
Passing out. 44 seconds left on the subject, starting now.
I remember passing out of number 9 wireless regiment in Cyprus. It was some few years ago. About 1948. Yes, it was. And I remember then I passed out with tremendous acclaim, particularly from the sergeant major, who was a chum of the colonel. And we won't go into that because these things were not so...
Paul Merton, chum.
Hesitation.
Hesitation, Paul, yes.
Thank goodness.
Passing out is with you. 23 seconds are available, starting now.
I remember when I was about 14 years old and I was travelling on the bus back from school, and several of my friends at that particular establishment were smoking cigarettes, and I was quite young, and we all started inhaling this particular cancerous...
Clement Freud challenge.
Two particulars.
Yes. 10 seconds. Passing out, Clement, starting now.
Passing out of a regiment is probably the most exciting thing that happens in your entire wartime career. I, who was called up to the Highland...
Paul Merton challenge.
Not as exciting as a bomb going off within 5 feet of where you're standing. You'd pass out then, wouldn't you?
Yeah. You actually gave me an impossible decision because in...
Well, how can you make it then?
I'm going to let the audience make the final
decision. Why are you asking them to make an impossible decision? If you can't do it, what they have? These poor chumps haven't got a clue, have they?
I'm shifting the responsibility. Are you booing him or me? In Clement's... definitely hesitant. Colloquially speaking, Clement may think that was one of the... Right, I'm going to put it to the audience. If you agree with Paul Merton's challenge... I'm getting a lot of points. You realise that, don't you?
It seems to be impossible to judge and impossible to say.
I know. If you agree with Paul Merton's challenge, you cheer for him. And if you disagree, you boo for Clement Freud. And you all do it together now.
Boo.
You've actually conned this audience before we... Right, you have the subject, Paul. 3 seconds. Passing out, starting now.
Suddenly there was a blow on the back of my head and I fell...
Paul Merton and Clement Freud are equal, one behind Derek Nimmo, who's in the lead, and Peter Jones is only just behind all of them. And Derek Nimmo, your turn to begin. The subject, Bobby. Will you tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now?
Being in the fair city of Edinburgh, or Dunedin, to give it its ancient name, one immediately thinks of Greyfriars Bobby, that wonderfully loyal terrier who, after his master had died, spent 14 years, ladies and gentlemen, waiting by the grave, and he's now commemorated with a glorious fountain in Candlemaker's Row. I think that is one of the most charming tales that I've ever heard. My teddy bear was called Bobby. He's now at the Stratford-on-Avon Museum for that said animals. Very nice, much loved, a seat bear with nice teddy... Oh, I said teddy, sorry about
Clement Freud challenge.
I was agreeing with him.
He was agreeing with him. He said, Teddy, right. Clement, 24 seconds on Bobby, starting now.
Bobby is a name given to London policemen because of Robert Peel, who invented the whole crooked race when he was a Victorian Home Secretary. I'm not a tremendous believer in calling...
Peter Jones challenge.
Why don't you just press your button as I start speaking?
Because actually, I'll be truthful, Clement, you were hesitating.
I speak slowly.
That was a definite hesitation. And it was Peter Jones who got in first. 8 seconds on Bobby, Peter, starting now.
Bobby Jones was a famous golfer when I was a boy. And then there's Bobby Short, who is one of the greatest evening entertainers.
Jones was then speaking as the whistle went. He's moved forward. They're all almost equal. But Clement Freud and Derek Nimmo are exactly equal in the lead. And Clement, your turn to begin. The subject, shuffling. Will you tell us something about that in this game, starting now?
Shuffling is very nearly an anagram of flushing. And if you were Welsh and put things with a double F, it would be. Shuffling is something which one does to packs of cards and cabinets, especially if they are unsatisfactory. Ministers...
Paul Merton, challenge.
Hesitation.
You definitely said
I stop at the end of a sentence.
But you not only stop...
It's not the stopping, it's the starting again.
And if you put an actual in between, it is more than definite hesitation.
Draws attention to it, doesn't it, really?
42 seconds on shuffling with you, Paul, starting now.
Well, it can be seen as an indication of guilt if a person shuffles from one foot to another. I believe that there are many...
Another hesitation. 33 seconds, Peter. Will you shuffle for us, starting now?
Well, this method of propulsion is famed in song and story in the famous number Shuffle Off to Buffalo. The why one would want to go to Buffalo.
Jerry Nimmo, chap.
Well, I thought it was a kind of hesitation, tongue-tied, sort of funny noise.
Just more say hesitation, that'll be enough.
But strangely enough... He said hesitation, but though it may have got a sort of glottal stop in the middle of the word, he didn't actually hesitate in speech, so I don't think I can grant it.
Oh, well, fine. No.
21 seconds, still shuffling with you, Peter, starting now.
I'm just worried about this glottal stop. I don't know. Perhaps it's my Arab upbringing. I don't know.
Derek, yes.
Tradition of I don't know.
I don't know, you repeat it, I'm afraid.
Oh, yes,
yes. 13 seconds. Derek. Shuffling, starting now.
See them shuffling along. Isn't that an exciting thought? I'd love to go out to Buffalo and see them shuffle in.
Paul Merton Challenge.
Repetition of see them.
I'd love to go out, yes. Isn't that lovely, seeing them shuffling along, go out to Buffalo and see them shuffling along. You...
It is almost half a sentence being repeated.
The reason I have to do it, because I must explain it, this audience will bear me out, they look at me as if to bluff me out and say, you cannot.
We just look at you with contempt.
It is the same
Why
man
do you want to applaud insults all the time?
This is the same man who a moment ago talked about our revered chairman.
I know. It's amazing
you
how
converted
you can change. There's such a thing as fickleness, and it's been demonstrated. And there are 6 seconds for Paul Merton to tell us something about shuffling, starting now.
See them shuffling along, ditto. I love that actual experience, because once they get...
So Paul Merton got that extra point, and he's now taken the lead at the end of that round, and it's his turn to begin. Paul, the subject, ram raiding. Will you tell us something about ram raiding, starting...
Well, this was a disgusting habit. What people do is they ram sheep through shop doorways, smash the windows and run off with hi-fi equipment. And the poor animal's lying there with blood running out of its head. Police come along. Can you give us an adequate description of the people that rammed you into this? I've no idea. It all happened so quickly, officer. And that's not the half of it, because it's Friday night and you know what happens round here. So they have to go down an identification parade. Was this the particular villain who got hold of you that night? Well, I can't really say, because he came up for me, bombed behind, and he had a stocking over his head, and he was putting on some kind of funny accent, so I can't be entirely sure that it was this felon in question. At this point, the authorities will say to the sheep, you must understand that this practice must cease. And so the ram would go around in disguise, probably a policewoman with a fur coat over her back. We'll walk around the shopping centres late in the particular evening trying to see if these villains who I've mentioned before, I know what's going on and I don't care. Also, if you go to Wales, there's a different kind of ram raiding that goes on. This is called dating. And what happens there is a suitable hill, you place this animal against the slope of the meadow that you find, which could always Lover's Lane is a very good bet, and you take a torch, a pair of rubber gloves and a bucket. Now what you do with the rubber gloves is, well, I can't really go in.
So Paul Merton started with the subject and he kept going and with a little connivance from the chairman who actually blew the whistle on that occasion after 1 minute 30 seconds because we were enjoying it so much, the audience were enjoying it. So Paul, you not only get a point for speaking when the whistle went, you get another point for not being interrupted, and I'm going to give you a bonus point for going for another 30 seconds over the time. And so you've increased your lead at the end of that round. And we're moving into the last round. Oh, dear. It's still very close, though Paul's just in the lead. And oh. Yes, I know, all good things have to come to an end. But remember, you did get in free. Peter Jones, moving into the last round. It's still anybody's game, and it's your turn to begin. The subject pauses. We've had a few of those in this game. Will you talk about them starting now?
Well, pauses should be the lifeblood of conversation and dialogue. Harold Pinter's made a fortune out of them. Now, I think it would be nice if we could have a game where one paused for a minute without actually speaking. I should probably win the game every week because these loquacious people around me...
What? Clement Freud challenged.
It's another game.
Is you repeat the word game, I'm afraid.
Oh, I see,
yes.
Game.
So, yes. Clement, you have the subject of pauses. You have 44 seconds starting now.
I'd quite like to have a game where you hesitate for a minute, which would be much more fun. Even repeating yourself for 60 seconds might be not unamusing. In Germany, the word Pause...
Paul Merton Chance.
Hesitation?
I think so, yes. Yes, yes.
Or not, I mean... I'm not married to it, you know.
If I've given the other debatable hesitations, I must give that one as well. It's only fair. So, Paul, 30 seconds, pauses starting now.
Well, just a minute.
Yes.
Fair.
I must be consistent, and that is being fair. It's being fair to all the players.
You suffer from delusions of adequacy.
Yes, and I'm used to getting insults from all the panel, but now you've now got... I've got the fair share. Everyone is insulting me except Peter Jones. But let's carry on
Peter.
Now.
Right.
Peter,
I don't think he knows who you are, Nicholas.
You're going for the record, are you? Where did you get that sweater, by the way? Colourblind or us or something? I don't know. Seconds are still available for you, Paul, to take over. Pauses starting now.
Pauses is what puppies have at the end of their feetings. And you see the footprints they leave in wet concrete or damp grass or anywhere that's capable of sustaining an impression of what they have at the end of their body at each corner.
Peter Jones, a challenge.
At the end of.
At the end of, yes. Yeah. Peter, you've got in with 13 seconds. Pauses starting now.
Well, they are quite interesting.
Danny Nimmo,
translation of well.
I think you said well last time.
You
well
think
today.
I did? Ah. No, it's not I know, I often do.
You did, actually, Peter.
I did.
Yes. 12 seconds. Derek, pauses starting now.
It would really be very nice to be able to have a pause now and have a glass of cold water.
Clement Freud Chalmers.
Two halves.
Pause now and have a glass of water.
Yes, that's right.
Why does that make it? Two halves.
Well, it's repetition of have. You see, that's another rule of the game, Derek.
The loss of short-term memory ruins you.
Clement, you have 6 seconds on pauses starting now.
Four paws per dog is just about the right number, I believe.
Freud was speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point for doing so. At the end of the contest, it is extraordinary even. I said the contribution is what matters, and it's interesting that Clement Freud, Peter Jones and Derek Nimmo are all almost equal in second place, but just only 3 points ahead was Paul Merton, so we'll say he's the victor this week. It only remains for me to say, on behalf of our four outstanding panellists on Just a Minute, Paul Merton, Clement Freud, Derek Nimmo and Peter Jones, and also to thank this audience here at the Pleasance on the Fringe in Edinburgh for the warmth of their response, and also Elaine Wigley for the way she blew her whistle and kept the score, Ian Messiter for thinking of the game, which we all enjoy playing so much, and above all, thank our producer Anne Jobson. From them and from our audience here, we do hope you've enjoyed the show, and tune in again next time we take to the air to play Just a Minute. Until then, from all of us here, goodbye! Thank you.